But the producer of the show and the man behind the scenes got into an engagement on Twitter about their behavior in sporting leagues that had my jaw dropping, because discussing getting thrown out of men's league ball hockey and men's league slow pitch, and
it's not good.
It's actually worthy of, Joe, I think, a summit.
All right, let's see.
The King Daddy Topper was Joe from the Bridge coming over the top saying, the refs at least knew who I was when I came into the... I just was like, no way, man. I'm not doing this.
I can't believe this. Let me just lay this out for everyone, okay? So the Grappler runs everything on the radio side for us. He's been with us for years. We love the Grappler. He works hard, right. And yet he's evidently an absolute loose cannon when he's not around us. And Joe from the Bridge is taking over and doing things for us on the TV side. But Joe from the Bridge, right, has been our friend for 10 years, ever since we've been at TSN. Anytime we reference Joe from the Bridge, this is who we're talking about.
Right.
So the Grappler on Friday night tweets out, Friday night plans, Beer League Baseball playoffs, Friday night reality, get tossed from Beer League Baseball playoffs. So the Grappler gets tossed from Beer League playoffs, which... it later came to my attention means another game suspension. He's out for, like, the championship game next weekend.
All right, Brooks.
I don't even know how you get tossed out of a beer. That's the key words here is beer league.
Right.
Like, it's not World Series or anything. Like, it's,
no,
you know, people are smoking during the game.
Jamie,
like,
we're talking about the two people that we don't ever want to be around because we would... they're the reasons why we don't play in the leagues. It's just ridiculous.
I'm in the same boat as you, dude. I can't do it either. I can't be around playing. Like, I consider it exercise and a good time. Like, I couldn't imagine,
right,
snapping on a ref, a guy who probably doesn't want to be there anyway.
Imagine sitting in, like, a normal office space and seeing Daryl putting the foil on at his desk saying, I'm prepping for ball hockey tonight.
Right.
Like, just working himself up into a lather to go be a goon at ball hockey. It's outrageous.
Well, Joe from the Bridge, so this is probably the best part. He responds to the Grappler's original Beer League tweet by saying, joking aside.
Now, all seriousness.
I got tossed from many, many men's league games on the ice and during ball hockey. It's our version of the big leagues. Which the Grappler responded, exactly this.
Man, like, oh,
so
man.
They're in the big. There's Field of Dreams for the Grappler, and you know, Miracle on Ice.
And
is
somebody followed that up with, this is nonsense, and then they followed it up with, that's actually good camaraderie for the show.
Right.
And I just thought, who are we dealing with here?
Well, we have to. I'm not sure what day we always do the Al's brothers, like, send it, drop it, or whatever. We might have to bring them
the
filter. We might have to bring them in on the filter and say, just hand over your passwords to your Twitter account.
Right.
Because we've already pointed out the Grappler on a couple occasions, like the Randy Johnson, Nate Pearson tweet that heard round the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how Joe from the Bridge
is pretty active out there too. Just he'll come at us from time to time. He's come after my takes. You know, hey, heard your take, interesting, but here's the truth. I'm like, okay. Yeah.
Here's what I'm hearing. Here's what I'm hearing.
If we want to get after it, we can get after it on Twitter, I suppose. I think we need a full interrogation later.
Yeah.
We're going to have to do that.
Get them both on at the same time, the last 5 minutes of the show, because we'll get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, we have to really get a full psych evaluation of the Grappler and Joe from the Bridge.
Let's ask Mark. See if he participates in any, like, beer leagues.
Well, and if he does, would he ever have the audacity of chirping an ump to the point where you get tossed? Like, mm-hmm, the ump's probably like a 17-year-old kid making $10 for the game, and the Grappler's
exactly
in his face like Lou Piniella in a World Series.
Exactly.
Here he is from MLB.com and the MLB Network, Mark Feinsand. I don't know if you play beer league hockey or basketball or baseball, Mark, but if you do, are you a guy that gets heated? Would you ever get in the face of an official and maybe get tossed from a beer league game?
I coach rec basketball, which is about the closest I can get to this conversation. I've been coaching rec basketball for my kids probably for about 8 or 9 years, and I got one technical foul once for opening my mouth a little too much. But other than that, I'm typically fairly reserved when it comes to that
that
situation.
That's what we like. That's what we like.
That's what it should be.
Normal. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. In other words, you're normal. Yeah, that's right.
When my kids played Little League, I was always astounded at coaches who were, you know, berating literally 15, 16-year-old umpires. You're like, God, you're like 45 years old, and we were coaching 10-year-olds. Like, what are you doing?
But, did you see anything ugly? Like, did you see any parents get into altercations, or did you see something where you're like, I can't believe I'm watching this?
No, mostly just coaches yelling at 16-year-old umpires was about as bad as it got. You know, fortunately, the one technical foul I got was, you know, an umpire who was older than me, so at least I wasn't stooping to yelling at a teenager.
Well, the best part is that that manager is probably in a full baseball uniform with New Balance shoes on, you know, 50 years old, massive boiler, yelling at the umpire.
Right, pocket full of sunflower seeds.
Oh, yeah. But he's right in there, right? He's managing, looking for the pennant, looking for the beer league pennant. Well,
hey.
You got to do what you got to do, and it happens, I guess, and that's what we've concluded here. And up here in Toronto, we are officially scoreboard watching because the Yankees are losing 5-2 in the top of the eighth. I guess, you know, they're in trouble. The Yankees are in trouble, and that is a good thing for the Jays because these two teams are on polar opposite sides of positive vibes right now, where the Jays have taken over the Yankees. I can't say you're not going to look back because 2 weeks ago the shoe was on the other foot. So how difficult is it for you, Mark, who's very objective and in the game and works in the game and has been around it for a long time, to get a read on where this wild card race is going in the American League?
Well, certainly you'd have to like the team that's 11-1 in September versus the team that's you know, pretty much the reverse record to this point. Yeah, I mean, 2 weeks ago, you know, I was covering a couple of Yankee games towards the end of August, and you're like, wow, this team may never lose again. And all of a sudden, it wasn't talking about wild card. They were talking about could they catch Tampa Bay. Clearly, that's not going to happen. And the Yankees are, you know, I think today with the news that Aaron Boone came out and said they're moving Gleyber Torres to second base and DJ LeMay, who's going to play third, and now they're looking at Gio Urshela as the shortstop. This has panic move written all over it, doesn't it? Where you start moving guys around and reassessing your lineup and who's playing where with, you know, with 2.5, 3 weeks to go in the season. Is this the time to be doing that? I mean, maybe he feels that it's a move that has to be made, but certainly the Yankees are grasping right now for straws and looking for any way to sort of stop the bleeding and turn things around, while Toronto is just going to try to keep riding the wave and, you know, see how far this can take them.
What is the perception outside of the Toronto market of the Jays? I mean, certainly they can put the bats to the ball, but, you know, is this a team that is coming? Did everyone expect them to kind of be, you know, in this position or battling for a wild card? I mean, from a talent level, from a, you know, projection, what do you see from the Jays and where do you think they can take this?
I would say early in the year there was definitely a thought that the Jays were going to be one of the teams that were fighting for a playoff spot. You know, things weren't going so well, you know, by the end of August. I'm not sure people were looking at them as a team that was going to be really in the mix in September. But, you know, you get hot at the right time and you have a couple other teams go cold. I think people look at this team and say, wow, Vlad Guerrero is really good. This lineup is really good. And when you look at what Robbie Ray is doing and a couple of the other guys in the rotation and, you know, they're, you know, Berrios, since he's been over there, you know, they're going to be dangerous in a short series because, you know, if your pitcher has an off night, this team's going to make you pay. I'm still not sure people look at them and say that's the team to beat coming out of the American League if they get to October, because first of all, you're going to have a one-game playoff to worry about, and that's always a crapshoot. And Tampa Bay is fantastic, and the White Sox are having a great year, and the Astros have some pedigree. So it's not going to be easy, and I don't think anybody's looking. But I'll tell you what, if, you know, we've seen teams get really hot in September and carry that into October, and if the Jays keep playing like this, you know, let's say they go 25-5 over their final 30 games, no one's going to want to see them on the other side of the field come October.
With Mark Feinstein of MLB.com and the MLB Network, Vladdy is on pace here for a triple crown, or he's legitimately pursuing it, and he's in first in two of the categories, and I believe he's right behind in the RBI chase. The last time we saw someone complete the triple crown was Miggy back in the day. He won the MVP that season. From an analytical standpoint, Mike Trout probably, quote-unquote, should have won it that season. But Triple Crown, Miggy, he had a spectacular year. He ended up getting it. It has felt like a foregone conclusion for 2 months that Shohei Ohtani, because he's a unicorn, is just going to get it. But if Vladdy hits 50 bombs, triple crown and drags his team to the playoffs.
That's MVP.
Right? How is it not at least a compelling argument come October? Who should be the MVP?
It is, and I think the fact that, look, if Vladdy had been putting up these numbers and the Jays were still 8 games out of a playoff spot, I think it would have been a harder argument to make, because what Ohtani is doing, I mean, unicorn is the only word to describe him, because we've never seen anything like him before, and I don't know that we'll ever see it again, even if other players attempt and succeed at doing what he's doing in terms of playing both ways. You know, to be leading the league or tied with Vlad for the home run lead, 44 home runs, while also pitching the way he's pitched, you know, he's remarkable. And he's the most fascinating person in baseball, and it's not even close. That said, even if Vlad doesn't win the Triple Crown, if he is first in two of those categories and third in RBIs, I think right now he's fourth in RBIs, or tied for third in RBIs behind Abreu and Perez, and he's tied with Devers, and Teoscar. I think, you know, if he carries the Blue Jays or helps carry the Blue Jays into the playoffs, it's going to be really hard to look at that season and not put him first on your MVP ballot. I think some people still will, because Ohtani, what he's doing is just so remarkable. And for Ohtani to have numbers, at least power numbers, in the same class as Vladdy, you know, the batting average is nowhere close. The OPS is very close, and obviously Ohtani's had a much better season on the mound than Vladdy. It's going to be a really fascinating thing. I must say, I usually love voting for the MVP award. I'm really happy I don't have that vote this year, because I think it's going to be a really impossible choice to make.
Mark, we touch on Vladdy's upcoming contract probably twice a week. I mean, what the hell is that going to look? Is it just going to be you own half the team? Or I don't know. I can't even imagine what this guy's going to be looking for.
Yeah, there are certain guys out there. I mean, you know, before the year, you looked at Tatis and Vladdy and Soto and Acuna, and you said, well, Acuna's locked up on a very team-friendly contract, but Soto, Tatis, and Vladdy are certainly going to be looking. And this was before Vlad's big year, obviously. You know, Tatis landed himself a $341 million deal. Soto, all, you know, signs point to him looking at, you know, 400 or even becoming the first player to approach a $500 million contract if he's able to, you know, continue doing what he did in his first few years. But if Vladdy's going to be putting up triple crown numbers, and you have to assume that he's not going to sign a contract until he gets to free agency or maybe is a year away, he's going to be looking at a lot of money. And whether or not that money can come from Toronto remains to be seen, or whether or not somebody, if he gets to free agency, there are going to be plenty of teams trying to line up, you know, big, giant contracts almost with you know, blank checks and saying, you tell us what it's going to take. He's a presence. He's a star. He would sell tickets. I think I would love to see him spend his whole career in Toronto, because I'm a big fan of seeing guys play for one team their whole career. You know, growing up watching baseball in the 80s and into the 90s, you got used to seeing Cal Ripken in an Orioles uniform and, you know, Tony Gwynn in a Padres uniform, et cetera. And, you know, we've talked about, really, that's not a thing that happens anymore, which is why when you see a guy like Tatis sign for 14 years with the Padres, you're like, God, I hope that guy just stays in that uniform his whole career. It'd be great if Vladdy could. Remains to be seen if it happens.
With Mark Feinstein, we had Gary Thorne join us a couple of years ago. It was right after he blasted the team when they made a routine play look like the most complicated play in the history of baseball. And we just asked him, 2 years ago, like, how tough is this, Gary? Are you having a difficult time getting through the season? And here's what he had to say.
No, I've had enough.
So that was 2 years ago, Mark, and they're worse today, I think. Like, the Jays just dropped 27 runs on this crew in 4 innings. How is it this bad, and why would anyone in Baltimore believe it's going to change in the next 2 or 3 years?
I'm not sure why anybody would believe it. I mean, I think a lot of Mike Elias, I think he's a very smart guy who obviously was part of that, you know, rebuilding and success in Houston. But this is already, what, year three of their Elias era? And you sort of, you know, when a new GM takes over in a situation like that, you sort of, everybody maps out the five-year plan. But, you know, this doesn't look like the beginning or, you know, year three of a five-year plan. It looks like you know, next year is going to be year one of a 5-year plan. So, the one thing I will say, they've built up their farm system a lot. I think in the latest rankings of farm systems, they were like second or third in the major. So they've got some guys, you know, double A, triple A, who are sort of pushing. And I think next year you could see a guy like Adley Rutschman, you know, get to the big leagues. We saw, you know, Mountcastle's having a nice year this year. They've got some young players who could be on the verge of making an impact. The problem is that all of their top prospects are hitters. And I don't know who's going to get people out. And clearly nobody's doing that right now. So, you know, and you start to see some of the hijinks we saw this weekend. You know, clearly it's getting to some people. And, you know, this can't be – I know there's only 30 managerial jobs out there, but this can't be fun for Brandon Hyde, right? I mean, this is going out there and just knowing that you're, you know, going to get your head handed to you almost every night. It's got to take a toll at some point. You know, I don't know that a managerial change does anything there. But yeah, it's tough. I feel for Orioles fans right now because it's a proud franchise that not too long ago had a lot of success. And, you know, you think about, what, 3 playoff trips in 5 years with the Adam Jones crew. But that feels like an eternity away from where they are right now.
Yeah, it really does. That was in 16. They played the Jays in the wild card game.
Yeah,
Jays
12, won 14, that. And 16.
Yep, that's right. And then the Jays bottomed out with them, and now the Jays are back in a playoff spot, and Baltimore's nowhere close to it. Always great catching up with you, Mark. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
You got it, fellas. Take care.
Mark Feinstein of MLB.com, MLB Network Insider, and seems like a relatively even-keeled human being, which is always a positive as well. Doesn't get tossed from beer league or rec basketball or anything like that.
Exactly.
So it's all normal. Good. Yeah.
It's normal.
So we'll interrogate the grappler later, and hopefully we can get Joe from the bridge on too and get to the bottom of all this. And
Ridiculous.
Al's brother's coming up. And, yeah, there's a lot of things we need to, you know, poke and prod, I think.
Yeah.